Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. Spencer Israel here in the driver's seat with Joel Elkanen and Dennis Dick. I feel like it's been about 2 weeks since we've all been on the show together, and here we are. So we're excited to be back, all three of us at the same time, and we got a lot to discuss. We have earnings this morning, Johnson & Johnson, Halliburton, Capital One, UBS, some more after the bell. We have some ratings to discuss. We're going to talk about Tesla and their just really, really strong technicals that just never seem to stop trading at all. So that'll be the theme of today's show. Our guest, as always, every Tuesday, Nick Shaheen, author of Create Income with Option Spreads. Joel, what's the good word? How was your weekend? And give us some quick update on the overnight session here.
You're Spencer Israel, right? That's. I just wanted to make sure we got the right person here in the driver's seat.
That's me.
Good weekend. Sports-wise, kind of mixed. Michigan went down, but the greatest of all time just proved he's the greatest of all time again, and Tom Brady. But just getting my bearings back here on the markets. Watched the Spoos traded yesterday. Pretty much weak from that open last night. Your pre-market high is 73.50. That's right up there with Friday's close. It's 26.71.50. So that's a big number, 16 handles away. That would be that a close above there that convinced me we're going back to all-time highs. On the downside, folks, I don't see much until a weekly number at 26.40. We can see if we can get that low. Crude in the red, China slowed down, crude in the red by 52 cents at 53.18. Gold hit a brick wall there at 1,300, pulling back quietly. That's down 70 cents at 12.82. Silver in the red by 11 cents as well at 15.29. So a lot of red on the screen here, but it's still early. Triple D, a day off from the market.
Oh, kills ya. It kills you. I tell you, I don't have a feeling here either. I even made a couple trades in Canada yesterday, so I didn't take a full day off. But I'll just tell you, it actually, the extra day, even though the markets weren't open, you come in here and you're like, I can't even really remember what happened on Friday. So I'm trying to get my bearings back, trying to get my feel back. I have 26 positions on overnight from Friday night. I'm trying to figure out, okay, well, how are these working? You know, what's happening? Is there news on some of them? So going through and trying to get a feel here, but it takes a little bit to get the feel back. So, and then you come into a pretty significant sell-off here. I mean, one of the bigger sell-offs we've had here in the last couple of weeks. So you're really trying to get your bearings.
And Friday, I know it was a while ago. There was some big buying going on Friday. Was there anything that
Remember, Joel, from Friday seems like so long ago, but there was some imbalances at the close. And if you look on Friday at the open, we had a pretty high open on a lot of stocks. It dipped after that, but then rallied up again. And then on the close, you had some buying too. We know a lot of times markets can turn on option expiration. We're not saying that was the turn, but you know, you get a significant down day after an option expiration. Sometimes it can indicate a turning point here. We know the S&P has been on a relentless run here. We've been above the 260 area, making a run up, you know, to the 270 area now on the SPY. But you know, I think the bulls are still in control here. So I don't know what's going to happen with the pullback at this point. If it's just going to get bought, it seems like every pullback continues to get bought. But we just, you know, going, you know, we know sometimes on option expirations, you can have turning points. So just a little bit of caution exercise if you're fully long here right now.
All right. Well, I guess we'll just get right into the earnings here.
Well, before the earnings, we on eBay, we just had at the top of the show, 8 o'clock-ish, Elliott Management sent a letter to eBay. The eBay board, they outlined a unique value creation opportunity, and they see a path to $55 to $63 a share for eBay.
Wow.
Today?
Just now.
No, talk in their book, Joel. And you know what? We got another headline just broke, too. Arconic, if you're, you know, just broke here just few minutes ago, too. No, will no longer pursue a sale of the company. ARNC getting crushed right now, down 21%, down 22%. That's why if you're coming to these things for speculative plays, you know, stocks in play, oh, it's going to get taken over. You got to be careful because when they put themselves out of play, this happens. So you got two major movers here, eBay and Arconic. This is right at 8 o'clock too. So ARNC falling out of bed here right down to the lows. If you are trading ARNC right now, 1563 is the low of the move. It looks like we're going to challenge that. We're right at 1578 here right now. So just be careful. Could have a bounce here. We'll see what happens at 1563. Trying to take it out. We're at 1558. This is just broke, but now we're back 1571 bids. So, you know, nice. If I was looking for a bounce or if I was short, I'd think about it in this area. But 1550 is where it's offered right now. So it is trying to take out that low.
Nice. Dennis, that was great.
You quote man. Like Joel. 1550 got some big sellers now. Iceberg at 1550, so it's just sitting there offered. They're buying them. They're buying them. They're trying to. Now it's 1524. It's trying to bounce in that little area. Straight down to the lows, though. That's why those levels work, Joel. Straight down to that level.
Dennis, I could tell just when it was coming down there. I could see you looking at your chart.
I want to.
And
you're
taking.
You're taking a nibbling. 1574.
Really.
But you know what? That's the definition of catching a falling knife, Joel. When you're trying to buy that, you know, and it's going straight down hard like that on new news. That's the very definition of trying to catch a falling knife. And you get hurt that way, so I typically don't do it. And the 1550 offers right back again. Big offer, 1550. Now it's 1540.
Still 15 bid.
No. I'm not catching the falling knife. And especially, I'm on a live radio show, hard to trade. I'm just saying, you know, this is a level that's bounced before, but now you got big offers still there. So it tried to bounce a little bit here in the first 2 minutes. Now it's getting offered again. So absolutely crushed. Arconic's down 25%. Glad I no longer own it.
Yeah, boy, that is a huge move. And Kloss got out at the right time. This is, this is like it. I mean, I know they did. He's gone from the company from a while ago.
He sells shares, though.
I don't know about that.
Is he all out of that?
I know. Full disclosure, I have no idea. I just know. He's just out of the company here. Big volume coming in. You could use that old low as resistance now, 1563. Going back at all my charts here, I just don't see anything. This is an all-time low. I know they split the company and everything.
Old Alcoa. Like everybody says, and they look, oh, Alcoa's done pretty good. You know, it's back at $29. Nah, it hasn't done good because it split off. This is the old. You got a smaller piece of the other one, the AA. The ARNC is the legacy stock, and the legacy stock has not done great.
Okay. All right. So let's that's went on to decline. I mean, AA is a separate stock. It is getting hit a little bit. That's down 47 cents as well. And once again, I think we say a lot. If you're buying a stock because you think it's going to get taken over, then if it doesn't, this is what happens.
This is the other side of it.
Yeah, I've never been in one for a merger, and that's why
I like selling the pops when they're in play and they get the huge lift. Sometimes stocks go 10, 15, 20%, just like we're even seeing eBay here today.
Yep.
So this is a great example here. Stocks up 10%, people are saying, oh, this is going to run. It's going to unlock some value, do some stuff. Well, let's be honest here. Elliot's got a huge, how much, Spencer, how much does Elliot own of eBay?
Yeah, that's a great
Do we have that? Because they're talking their book.
That's fine.
So, you know, it's always fun to come in and say, oh, yeah, you know, value creation, we can see, you know, different ways. And we know Ellie can get active and try to, you know, stir the pot and try to make some stuff happen. But the bottom line here is they're talking their book.
All right, let's talk to eBay here. I'm looking. Hold on. I'm looking real fast.
Hold on a second. They own.
He's going to find out the background. Joel talked technicals on eBay here, too. We are up at $34. So give us some levels here, Joel.
Yeah. This thing's been under pressure, Triple D, for quite a while here. Trading at the highs of the pre-market session, $34. I guess, you know, talk 50% retracement here. That's the only number I'm going to give you real quick. You had a high that's called 47, and you had a low at 26. So that's 21-point move. So 36.5. I mean, that would be a great area if it could get up there. I see a lot of highs here at 35, one spike high at 35.5. I guess for this one, just keep an eye on that pre-market high and then look for follow-through. And right now it's trading just at the highs of the session. From longer-term perspective, these moves usually fade a little bit. They get the pop and then, you know, it takes a while though Elliott's made some good calls over the years.
You know, I think Elliott has a new $1.4 billion position on eBay.
I was going to say that
this is how they roll. Is how these companies, they go, they buy a stock, and then they, you know, throw out a plan. And they know when they come out public, they bought the stock and throw out a plan that they're going to make, you know, a quick buck on. Or they can, you know, it's going to be in their favor. Now, I don't think Elliott's one that sells into it. Like, we've obviously challenged Citron a couple times if they're selling into their pops. I think Elliott's a little longer term. But the one thing about all these hedge funds is, that's the, I guess, the benefit that they have to, you know, having the reputation that they do, is they're always, you know, even Warren Buffett, they're always going to be up in the trade as soon as it's disclosed, usually, unless it's had a big move in the 45 days since it's disclosed. I mean, Warren buys something, and then it comes public that he bought, and the stock pops on it. Well, he's already in from that pop. So I guess that's the big benefit, you know, that they do get from how their reputation. You know, I'm not saying anything shady. This is the facts, that when they come out public, they know they're going to be up some money in the thing. So here they come, you know, and they're immediately up 10% in the new position. You know, it's not just, you know, that they knew that the stock was going to go up. They caused the stock to go up. So it's, you know, if you invest in these, you know, Elliott Management, obviously, you know, you get that extra bonus, that oomph, from, you know, being the initial purchaser. But they've outlined some plans. They've done some work. They want to. They recommend an accelerated $5 billion buyback for eBay in 2019. This is all just recommendations. They recommend eBay to implement a 1.5% dividend yield. I'm just looking, you know, just through the note here quickly. And they see a path to $55 to $63 a share. So they're trying to create value by doing buybacks and dividends. And I don't know, isn't that what all they all do? So I don't see anything, you know, revolutionary here. A five-step process is what they're saying.
Let me get my bearings here on the monthlies. Your August and your September highs flank the $35 level. So $34.91, $35.29. If you think you absolutely have to get out of the stock today, or you happen to pick up some cheap options over the last couple days, I'd take a real close look at the $35 area. So that's my number there in eBay.
So big moves in eBay, big moves in
Arconic.
Now we can go look at Tesla's big move from Friday, and that thing got the beats. But again, the bounce level, right under 300. How many times, you know, even in the last month, we won 2, 3, 4, 5. Every time we cut below 300, we bounce again. And we did it again. So here, you know, Tesla, it gets the beats. We knew there was room to 300. We said it on the show on Friday that, you know, I don't know if I'd be buying a 320 or 325 when it was trading their pre-market, because there was really not much below. I said if it got below 300, I'd be interested. It did. I did not buy it. I'm still interested, but we got some, you know, other news here today. I know Goldman came out with a report, and they were poo-pooing it a little bit here, reiterating, I believe. Do you have that, Spencer, in front of you? I think I don't want to say anything because I don't have the report in front of me, but I think Goldman reiterated their Sal rating with their two, trying to see where it is.
You're saying on Friday?
I think this is from this morning.
No.
I just saw it go by my Twitter stream. I haven't actually.
I don't have that.
Okay. I believe Goldman had some commentary, but it's not obviously moving the stock. Stock's trading up. There's other news in Tesla too, though. What's the other news?
Again, are you referring to the news from Friday where they're laying off their?
Let's recap Friday.
So the news this morning is that they're reducing their supercharger price, and they're in talks with China to. They're in talks with a Chinese company over their battery contracts, but
well, that's why it's up this morning.
Right.
What was the news that drove us down on Friday?
Right.
Just refresh us.
Friday's news is that they're reducing their headcount by 7%.
Okay. And obviously that's probably, you know, seen as a demand issue here, and that's why the stock gets beats. I mean, the stock's found support multiple times in 290s. So until 290 is broken, if you break like through 290, then I think you're going to see 250. So, but if 290 can hold, then the bulls are still in control here. So I'm going to say bulls are in control until 290 breaks. I know everybody's, the shorts are all dancing around with the big move on Friday, but they've been dancing around multiple times here when Tesla gets under 300, and usually 3-4 days later it bounces back. So we don't know if that's going to happen again. It's the third time down here. Maybe it's not going to happen again, but I would say for the bulls, if I was long this stock, I would not want to see a trade below really the low of 294 from the move.
There you go. Yep.
290, I'm just rounding it to. But that's the December 26th low. I would not want to see a trade below that if I was long.
Yeah, I see a pair of lows flanking the 295 area. 99.73 was your low on Friday, so there's a potential area. I mean, the company came out and gave you some bad news, and it's been a trading range. Dennis, you're talking about the 290 to 300 area. We've had a couple dips in the 250, 260 area. But for all intents and purposes, Tesla has been in a trading range from 243 up to that 380 area since March of 2017. Nearly a two-year trading range, a big trading range with a lot of volatility in it. But once again, let's see, I'd be even leaning on Friday's low after that big up move. The high of the after-hours session stands at 308.83.
Tesla had a big move. You had a lot of big moves on Friday. Let's just quickly move over, though, to some of the movers from the earnings here this morning, because we had some earnings reports. Johnson & Johnson, probably the biggest one this morning. It is getting hit here. It has been quietly rallying with the overall market here. Got back about 30% of the losses from, obviously, the big fall after the talcum powder debacle. Back under 130 bucks here. Spencer, give us the results.
Q4 EPS for Johnson & Johnson, the adjusted EPS, $1.97, is a 2-cent beat on the estimate. Sales, $20.4 versus $20.17 billion. So beats on the top and bottom line for J&J for the Q4. Their guidance, fiscal year EPS guidance coming in line, and the fiscal year sales guidance coming in line. Actually, sales guidance was a little bit light. EPS guidance in line for the year, sales guidance for the year a little bit light.
Nothing great there, nothing that exciting, nothing devastating here either. I'll say 127.50. That's the low of the move. It's kind of got multiple lows in that area. It's kind of an interesting area, eh, Joel? You got like 127.69, yeah. 127.58. Rounding to 127.5. You got some support there. Take that out, then you're gonna have a whoosh down maybe. But I'd say support is support until it's broken.
Yeah, kind of consolidation here. Just going back here to what something we talked about on earlier shows. You came back. You had that really bad down day with the talcum powder. That was back in on December 14th, and you had to close at 133 that day. And a lot of times, I'll just make a mental note when there is a big move in a stock where there's you can tell there's institutional trading by the volume. And that 133 close has been one heck of a number. It got up to close to that area on one day, 132.80. But it's been under pressure ever since. So longer term, until this thing clears 133, I'm staying off, hands off on the long side. On the downside, there's some intermediate levels here that Dennis mentioned, but you also have a scenario where this thing's going down. Someone may feel that they missed the bottom, so I don't see us bolting to 121 even right away. I think it's still going to really develop a trading range. I think you'll find some buyers on this decline. 127.50 is the first stopping point.
Also reporting here this morning, do you got the Halliburton report?
We have the Halliburton report. HAL reporting this morning. Q4 adjusted EPS, 41 cents versus a 37 cent estimate. Sales, $5.94 versus $5.88 billion. So beats on both the Q4 EPS and sales for HAL.
Schlumberger had the big move, and people come in here and say, okay, well, Halliburton's going to have a big up move too. The beat, but you know what? Expectations now all of a sudden higher because of Schlumberger, and Halliburton had a pretty good move on Friday because of Schlumberger. So they already had some very good expectations priced in here. Maybe didn't blow it away as good as Schlumberger, and that's why you're trading slightly down, but you're not trading down that much. You kind of turned here a lot on a lot of these oil stocks, obviously, with oil coming back here in the last month. So I think you got buyers below. I think you get near 30. I think you could have some buy the dippers there. I don't know if you're going to get down that low, though. So I think people could buy this dip.
At 32.25, your close from Friday was right up near the high at 32.37. So that's a really good number to keep an eye out for follow through with your close on the high at the same area. On the downside, I'd like to maybe see it fill the gap from Friday, and that would take you down to 31, 30.97. was your high on Friday. 31.30 was your gap up low. So 31 for support, and then the high and the close for resistance, 32.25.
Who else do we got?
We did have some
others. There's a bunch of Steel Dynamics.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
We had Travelers.
We had UBS, Steel Dynamics, Travelers, Capital One.
Well, let's do UBS, because European banks are getting the beats here. What do UBS say?
UBS reported Q4 EPS of 18 cents versus a 26 cent estimate. Yes. Sales, 6.97 versus $6.95 billion. So a slight beat on that, but the big EPS miss is what the story is here.
Down 5%. $12.96. This is obviously traded in Europe, and obviously it was open yesterday as well. It would have been open in Europe, not as an ADR over here. So you got to consider that, you know, there's been a, you know, price discovery has happened here. This isn't like bouncing around. This is where it's at. All the other European banks have been beat up as well, too. I think this is not obviously helping the market here this morning. Deutsche Bank down 3%, Credit Suisse down 1.5%. Barclays, the bounce of that's down 2.5%. Banco Santander's down 1.8%. So they're all getting hit here a little bit. They've had a pretty good run here, too. Maybe some profit taking now on the numbers that weren't that great. I think now all of a sudden, if you get back up into the mid-13 area for whatever reason, I think you find sellers. So not a great quarter here for UBS.
And they also said there was $13 billion in withdrawals over Q4. So that makes them a little downbeat on, like, the overall market and the economy as well. I'm looking at this. You had some lows at 13. We've taken that out. So if you can regain 13, maybe make a run at the closing price. If not, you've had a really nice rally in this from, what, 1161 low. To nearly, let's call it 13.5. So $2 move. So I get more interested in this in the $12.5 area. You also have a low. So if you continue to decline, I'll be looking for support here at 12.5. And I did see the other banks in the red as well. Deutsche Bank's in the red,
yep.
Under $10, BCS. So there's your catalyst for the down market here. European banks in a slowdown in the Chinese economy.
We also had Steel Dynamics. Not a ton of volume in the name this morning yet, but they are out. The earnings are at least, so we'll do
that. These charts look the same. Man, the market's been moving together, eh? You know, we know when volatility goes up and the VIX goes higher, you're going to see stocks start to move more together. As a stock is a stock, and people are nervous on stocks, they sell them all. People want to own stocks, they buy them all. You look at these charts over the last month, the big swoon down and the bounce back. I mean, it's incredible, actually, Joel, how many of these charts, which are completely different companies, look similar. So we've brought up like 6-7 charts here today, even eBay. Now, obviously, eBay is going to look a little bit different because of the big move here today. But, you know, before today, it looked a lot like Steel Dynamics, nothing to do with each other. But a stock is a stock in a nervous market environment. And, you know, and a stock is a stock in a hungry market environment. And that's what we went. We went December when the market was nervous and selling everything. And they came in January with their buying shoes on, and they haven't stopped since. And they've been buying everything. So it's very interesting. We're going to start to see some separation now, though. It'll become more of a stock picker's market as the VIX is now back under 20 and been leaking here. And obviously, you know, a lot less nervous people out here. So a stock is a stock is a stock isn't as much as the case anymore. Still Dynamics, technicals on that.
Yeah, just real quick on this one. This had a gap down back in December. It missed that gap by 2 cents here. And actually, you're trading right there right now. So this one, hold here, holds the close, 35.30. You have some more continued upside here. 36.16 would be your next stopping point on the upside. That was a high on your big gap down day. And then if you go red on the session, not much to look for until 33.59. That was your low from Friday. So a couple areas of interest there. I did notice X, too. That got a little bit of a bounce.
That's downgraded today, Jefferies. So if you're looking at X and Y, it's trading down. You got Jefferies downgrading it here. And that has the same thing. They all look the same. Anyways, you know, and
the same charts. Yeah.
A lot of them are the same. Now you're starting to get some separation. Obviously, not every chart's the same, but, you know, they bring up five charts, three or four of them look the same. So here's another one that kind of looks the same. As eBay, as all of them. They're all starting to separate on their own news here this morning. But X here, downgrade Jefferies. What are your thoughts here? $20, I would say. As long as it holds 20, that's a buck away from here. That's your major support area.
All right. Yeah, let's take a look. It is on a pullback. You did have a couple lows there. Once again, stock like this going in decline. Oh, maybe I missed the move, the low of the move at 17.09, 17.25. I think you find some buyers in this one. On the downside, that 20 is a good level. eBay, I talked about 35. I wish I would have had that gumption to buy it and sell it at 35 because there you are right there right now. You just snuck over $35, $35.19 is your pre-market high here in eBay. Let's see if the sellers overtake the buyers here now at 35.
jump over to ratings quickly. 825. You got, so because we just covered X, so we can go Nike upgrade a Cowan. You got the double upgrade for Palo Alto Networks, PANW up at UBS and at BMO. Under Armour catching an upgrade at Goldman. That always helps. Gap is not catching an upgrade. Goldman is catching a downgrade to sell at Goldman. So GPS is down significantly. Maybe you should go that one. GPS down $1.50. It's now under 25 here again. Clinging to its lows from December. This one does not look good.
Yeah, down $1.14 here. I see an area of interest here at 2470, 2473. Those are your – actually, man, there's four lows right in that area. So keeping an eye on that, five, six, seven lows. I don't know. A lot of support down here at 2460 if you're looking to cover short. Coming back on the upside, we'll use 2564 as resistance. That was the low from yesterday's session, so that could be a tell. And then who else did you mention there? You mentioned Palo Alto Networks.
Got two upgrades, UBS and BMO.
Right. Well, trading up 366. Keep an eye on your spike high at 208 even. And now you're currently trading at 206.96. I don't know. There's a big red candle that you got to work through from October. So I would go back in the month of October from last year and try and find some daily highs or lows, maybe two or three in the same area as potential resistance.
Okay. Just interesting, and I've never heard of this boom, but Bucephalus? Is that who it is? Bucephalus. Anyways, it's just a note. I'm just looking at reading the note right now. It says sell General Electric, lots of liabilities and limited cash flow, target price $1. I don't know this firm, Bucephalus. The analyst is Alexander Med. And I'm just reading it from the note. GE's business reality is far from removed from management's upbeat message. Creative accounting enabled management to line their pockets while the underlying business deteriorated. A bloated board sanctioned poor disclosure, leasing, restructuring provisions, and asset trading that obscure the decline. Fiscal year 2018, we expect underlying industrial profits of, and I don't have that, change is coming, but it is too late. Disposing of the loss-making finance, and this is just a summary of the note.
Yeah.
Sorry, this is a summary of the note I'm reading. Disposing of the loss-making finance subsidiary will simplify the accounts, but it will also expose the industrial's liquidity risk. There's a lot of bad stuff.
Okay.
Anybody more bearish than Inch?
Anybody can.
It's Bucephalus? Am I saying that right, Spencer? Do you know Bucephalus?
I've never heard of them either. Anybody can make a note calling for a stock to go to $1.
I mean, it's not really moving. It's down slightly on it, so nobody's really jumping out. But it's just interesting. They put a $1 price target on it, and they just bashed the hell out of it. So I don't know. It's the first time I've heard of this company.
I've never heard of this firm.
$1 price target on GE.
Yeah. I don't know what to say.
Sell,
to that.
Honestly.
I don't know what to say.
Well, I'll say Mr. Anshaw got some nice ink in Barron's this weekend talking about the stock as well. I mean, it's had one hell of a run, right? From the Dennis
low. You tell the person that bought that thing at 15. Oh, Spencer, you still don't own your GE, do you?
Don't laugh, Dennis.
We made fun of you. That's okay. Spencer, you can make fun of me on all kinds of ones because, you know what? I bought GE worse than you. I bought it like 20-something, and I ended up selling it like 14 or 15 or whatever. Look, it was. So I probably ended up losing more.
I'm not risking any capital that I can't afford to lose.
No, so. I know. I mean, you're long term. Spencer Israel's a young guy. This GE might come back eventually.
There's nothing.
It doesn't have to go to
I'm not gonna if this goes to zero, I'm not going to lose sleep over it.
There you go. Spencer's in it for the long run.
All right, we got everyone.
I'm sorry I picked on you. Spice the same play nice. That was mean. Spencer just comes back and
it's
I picked on him.
It's fine.
Spencer, you're allowed to pick on me.
now he's going to leave for another month.
I pick on Joel all the time. Continuously we pick on Joel. And Spencer never do pick on
Joel. And Joel's gone on.
I shouldn't start the fight. We should just keep picking on Joel.
Yeah. You know what? You do it when I'm gone.
Well, we pick on you all.
That's low, man. You don't think you just wait, man. You just wait. I tune in every once in a while when I'm on the road. So, you know, I'm saving up. I'm great at revenge. If you get a lot of magazines delivered to you and you don't a lot of free stuff, you'll know where it came from.
Wait, but the question but the question in the chat though is GE gonna retest the 666 low?
No, well, I don't think on this note. I mean, it's not even moving. If anybody, if there was any, if the, you know, obviously, if this was a bigger firm and they said this, this thing would be down significantly on it. It's down just basically what the market's down at 0.86%. So not a lot of people obviously follow this firm's research here. So that's the issue here, at least, you know, with GE and this note. But I just thought it was interesting. It came across my desk, so I decided to read you a little bit of it.
I would just say, just
I have no position in GE.
I do. I have.
What do you got?
I got a few puts.
Oh, you got puts on it. You're betting against Spencer Israel.
Yeah. I mean, it just $9 and went through there on an option expiration and peaked right at the open on Friday, you know, and the market rallied. It just kind of sold off. I just thought it was a big move, so I just thought I'd play around with some 9 puts for a couple weeks here. But I will say there's 5 lows in 870 area. So going back for last week and a half. So 870 support. I don't know what In says. I don't know what the little old lady from Pasadena says. But right now, a short-term target for me on the downside.
Little old lady from Pasadena is probably still holding on.
Yeah, 870. 870, I see that. And it's right near weekly low. Your weekly low is 866. So not looking for anything huge. We'll see if we can even get that low. Also trading down with the market a little bit, so that's not helping either. eBay is pulling back off 35 a little bit. If we had anybody shorting it there, you took a little heat when you went to 35.19, but now you are back under 35, so that could hold up. And then Arconic, whew, $15. Someone has finally decided to buy some stock in the $15 area, but still not agreed candle yet. Yeah. What about him? You know, Spruce, for as big a range as we've had, Dennis, pretty tight during the pre-market show and the
pre-market show. Well, and you got to consider one thing. We've had – so this isn't like the S&P's just overnight here. We're trading, you know, down – you know, we were trading down since Sunday night. So you've had a long time where you've had a lot of, you know, traders trading in this price range here. So, you know, where do we open Sunday night?
We opened up at 69.25.
Which would have been down what? Because we were down Sunday
just
night.
Just a couple.
But then I checked on Monday morning and we were down like 8 or 9, 11. So, you know, now at 15. We've been hanging out. It's, you know, down 10 points. It's called 10 to 15 points for over 24 hours now. So we don't normally see that because usually the stocks will open by that time. But the stocks were – obviously, S&P futures were open yesterday. Were they open for the whole session yesterday?
Till 1 Eastern.
And then when did they reopen? At 6 again? So they took a 5-hour rest.
Yep.
So just because everybody else gets a day off, your futures traders don't. So anyway, it's been sitting just obviously down already. So you kind of got a lot of this all priced in. So you're not going to see the kind of – it's not like all of a sudden this just sold off. We sold off a day and a half ago. We just haven't had a chance to trade it with the stocks yet.
Right, and also
bounces are to the south side, and they are significant. So Bank of America, 386,000 to sell. That is significant. We'll talk to chart on that in a second because it's been going straight up. It's going to be the case today. General Electric, we talked about it already this morning with this boutique analyst report here. 518,000 shares to sell for General Electric. Morgan Stanley, 274 to sell. AIG, stock I haven't talked about in a long time. I own AIG in my investment portfolio. It has been an underperformer here in the last few months, I'll tell you that. 111,000 to sell on AIG. Alibaba, 64,000 to sell. Baba has been on a hell of a run. Everything's been on such a run. So it's not surprising you eventually do get some profit taking. I would have thought it would have happened by now. So it's a little bit late. AT&T, 108,000 to buy. That's one of the few buy and balances that I see this morning. General Motors, 64,000 to sell. They are mostly selling balances, and they are fairly large.
All right. That's with the market here. A lot of different stocks you covered there. But why don't we go to Nick, because we're getting some questions from the YouTube chat about AT&T and Disney. So Nick can come in and bring his fundamental and technical outlook on these stocks. I don't know. I can't remember the last time I talked to Nick here, last time I've been here on a Tuesday. So Nick Shaheen, he's the author of Create Income with Option Spreads, joins us every Tuesday. Nick, are you out there?
No, he's not on us yet. Hold on. I'll give you 1 second. Okay. I was trying to keep track of Dennis's imbalances and calling Nick right now. So let's see if he answers. And in warm California compared to the 5-degree weather we have right now.
He knows how to do it.
Hey, hello. Nick, how's it going?
Pretty good. How about you?
We're really, really cold up here. It's like 5 degrees.
Well, it was
crazy. What's the temperature there?
It was in the 40s this morning. I looked at the gauge outside.
It's even chilly in California.
Yeah, it has been chilly and blustery. Last few days have been sunny, but before that, it was just downpour.
What do you do when it's that cold in California? You stay inside and start a fire? What do you do? What do you do to stay warm in California?
Turn on the heat.
Do you go outside? Like, do they shut down some of the city there because it's getting too cold? What happens when it goes below freezing? Like, you get a little ice on the roads. You guys all just
I've never seen ice on the road here.
Oh, so you've never seen it before. So they would definitely shut the city down if the ice on the road.
Yeah, when it rains a little bit, everybody gets flustered. But during the day, it's pretty nice. I mean, I was outside in shorts and flip-flops yesterday, but in the mornings, it's pretty cold. At night, it's pretty cold.
Well, I hope you don't have electric heat, and I hope you don't get it from PCG.
I don't. PCG is up north, and I do have solar, so I'm good there.
Oh, really? Are you all solar, or?
I am on solar, and I haven't needed to draw from.
Green guy.
Yeah, it was, Costco. Bought it at Costco.
Nice.
And I sold puts in the company that sold it to me. So
so you had to make your money back. You're like, I'm going to give you money, but you know what? I'm going to get some money back from you right away, too. Look at Nick.
I did.
That's a very good method of trading sometimes.
That's a very good method of living. Yeah. I'm going to go drop a big expense here, but I'm going to go sell puts on your company. I'll get the money back that I spent on it. But you're unbelievable. That's smart. This guy's smart.
All right. Let's cover some stocks here. I mentioned PCG. I'll just, do that. I mean, that stock made a washout low. I mean, you're taking on risk here, right? If you buy it at $7, the company. What are you hearing out there? I know you're pretty much, this is such a newsy stock. I'm sure it's kind of hands off on, for you. But
oh, yeah.
You tempted to sell any puts in this thing or trying the upside calls?
No, I haven't done either because it is a complete gamble. Not to say that it's bad to do it, but to try to look anything at the chart, it's just useless. I'm going off through all time, and this is probably, I can't see anything that I could relate to other than a couple of times back in 2002, and that's it. Go with your gut. If you know about the story there, then trade it. It's definitely a trading vehicle, not an investment, because I know nothing about it. And this apparently is not the first time it's happened. So
correct. That's true. And they had recovered. Let's go, before we go into some individual stocks here, let's just go to, just the overall market, whether you want to use the SPY or the S&Ps. We had a great run off the low here. Had some fluff on Friday on the close here. It's just a golden opportunity to lighten up after the big decline, or we're going to gain some refooting after this decline today and just go right back up to new all-time highs?
Well, I'm optimistic about the quarter. And now that we have only half the fears, meaning the Federal Reserve fear is out, now we're down to China. From a headline perspective, I think the market wants to confirm or kill whatever we heard, the trillion-dollar rumor from last week. So this is just mere price action. I mean, you guys are traders, you know the levels. I was having a conversation yesterday with some of the traders in my chat room, and they were worried. They were saying that the headlines were messing up the action. I said, I doubt it. This is action that needed to happen. On the way up, we've had a few moves. And 2640, I expected 50 for sure, 45, 48. Maybe we did that overnight. I haven't checked. But 40 wouldn't surprise me. And 26-ish was a neckline from the 17th. So these are price levels that are normal to see on the way up. You need to breathe and onus on the bulls to prove that they can use these levels as footings for higher lows, higher highs.
Okay. All right. Let's go into some individual issues here. And I'm just going to go from the chat here. And Nick, you can whip them up on your charts. We have some questions about, AT&T. The stock went ex-dividend. I'm seeing a lot of resistance up here at 31 and change. I mean, you're not going to get rich on, the principal appreciation on this thing, but pays a nice dividend stock. I don't know if you've traded this much at all, Nick. Not a lot of volatility. Thoughts on AT&T and that juicy dividend?
Not recently, I have not, but I would trade it on the upside if they can break a trend line. And they're thereabouts if you draw a line as far as lower highs and then higher lows. So the range is tightening into a point, and the earnings may be the one trigger that sends it up or down. So on the way up, you know, it has resistance on 3230-ish, just from a price perspective, price action, volume profile, whatever you want to call it. It looks like inverse head and shoulders for a zone, but not quite perfectly drawn. So there might be upside from that, about the same level trigger. I wouldn't chase it up before I see higher prices than 3145-ish, because that was the last point of fail. Short term, I'm talking. So the 8th, the 8th, January 8th, I think it had its high poke there. Above that, another high poke would be at 32-ish. On the low side, it seems like it wants to defend 2945-ish. So these are levels to keep in mind if I'm short trading this. If I'm for the long term, like you said, it had reasons. It has reasons to hold for the dividends, et cetera. But from a trading perspective, you have tight levels that you can trade off of on the downside or the upside.
And these stocks have been a little bit more in favor as of late, just with the shakeup in the market. Let's go to the House of Mouse here, Disney. I know they're supposed to be having a bunch of new movies coming out. Boy, this seems to have hit a wall here. Major resistance at, I call it 113. Big seller at 113. 4 or 5 days in a row. 13.18 was the high of the move. I mean, I'd be on the defense on this one until we clear 113. Nick, maybe you could find us some downside.
Well, it's in a zone that is resistive for sure, and it's not abnormal, meaning there's nothing wrong with the company from the resistance here. I think it's just the fact that there's a lot of action here, supply, whatever you guys call it. Looking back at the chart, on the, I'm talking about the daily, and it has been pivotal for over a year. Let me see. I'm trying to zoom out to see if I can declutter. So on a 5-year, it looks like this is a zone that comes into play often, and it's on the upper end of the scale on a 5-year basis, on a weekly basis. So on a daily basis, I wouldn't chase it unless I'm trading it short term. And to that, on the levels there, there's higher lows, lower highs coming to a pinpoint. And so it might have a move coming. I don't know when it reports earning. Hopefully somebody in the chat room there knows. So above 112,
February 5th.
It gets interesting. And below 110.25. So this is a short-term, these are short-term. If I were trading it, I'd put alerts at those levels and chase the breakout in that direction.
All right, Ike in the Google chat, what's your thoughts on the letter V, Visa?
Okay, so part of the going long the banks on their earnings, my thought was to go along the transactors rather than the banks. If I wanted to chase the banks, I'd rather chase the transactors like SQ, Visa, MasterCard, and PayPal. And even American Express, and I probably chose American Express for some reason. I read somewhere that they might have a first mover advantage in China. Probably that would be the only reason I'd own it. So good companies, I think they benefit from the fact that we're all doing everything online. So the payment transactions, the company should do better than typical banks because of, I don't think we've severed the fact that, quote, banks can't rally. And why would I want to risk my money on Goldman Sachs, for example, when it has all the problems it has, or on Bank of America that really doesn't do a lot from a trading perspective? Recently, they've been in favor, but that who knows if that's going to last. So I'd rather play Visa as a bank play than the other ones. But I'm not doing anything with the banks these days. I would bet. I did bet on American Express. And I didn't lose. So as far as earnings, which is good because it's a lottery ticket, I could sell puts in it. I could sell put spreads. And that goes for the same for Visa. I could play the upside too, but I'm not in favor of buying a lot here except for a specific reason. And I personally don't have one for these stocks, but they are good companies.
Just a quick technical here on the Visa. Just what jumps out to you when you look at the chart? To me, just that 140 area, I'm just given 139.48 was your high at the bump, and then now you've had consolidations, tight ranges. So I look at, keep the eye on the bottom of the range, 135.25, and then the top at the 140 dollar area. Let's move on here. We got a few more stocks that people would want your thoughts on, and AMD, the wild child that it once was, is been kind of calming down now. I don't think it rallied as much off the low as the market did, but any thoughts on AMD?
Not my favorite from a fundamental perspective, but it is Wall Street's favorite. It did great last year in a tough year. So who am I to poo-poo that? There are things you can chase. Depends on how brave you are. If I'm cautiously optimistic about the market, I could stay long it. But if I was choosing to go long from an investment perspective, I'd probably choose the other ones. Even I wrote up NVIDIA, and it paid us pretty quickly. And a lot of us stayed long it, depending on the portfolio. So AMD, if the market is moving higher, it's probably moving higher. I would be wary of the earnings. I don't know if you remember, you and I had a conversation to that when everybody loved it. I said there's no way they can live up to all the hope into earnings. And that was a good short for that period of time. I don't know if I want to short it, but I'd be cautious around the earnings.
Yeah, I just noticed it's just been capped at 21, a lot of rallies here. Recent high was 21.44, but yep. Over the ledge, I'm keeping an eye on 21 as well.
Yep, those are the two lines that just drew on it, by the way.
Okay. Just real quick, just going to talk autos real quick. We got the North American Auto Show this week in the Motor City. Bad news on Tesla last week. I mean, hit the psychological $300 level. Trading range, Tesla. Thoughts on it?
Okay. I still have some lingering sold puts in Tesla, and they're a green. They're at the $195 level. Mm-hmm. It is technically drawing out an inverse cup and handle somewhere around 294.
Yep.
So I'd be cautious. This is a line I drew not too long ago, and I haven't moved it yet. Maybe it's the Nile, but it's still a concern if it loses that neckline, and it could come out a loser there. I didn't like what he said. I mean, it was kind of a blow to everybody involved, to the stockholders or whoever was bullish Tesla. When you say something like that, you freak them out. You say that our cars are too expensive for most people. And then, I don't know about the wordings, but I thought that's what I heard. And then to the people that actually paid you $1,000 umpteen years ago and waited 3 years to get their car, you tell them that they overpaid and you're going to give somebody else who didn't stand in line the benefit of lower prices. I mean, name the thing something else. Pull a 5C Apple move. You know, they come out with a cheap quote phone with a 5C, I think it was. Don't cheapen out a current model. They call it the 3C or whatever, something different to let the people that forked over the money at 50, 60 grand not feel bad about it. It was just a weird thing to say.
Guess who bought that Apple 5C phone?
cheap.
Okay. All right, Nick. Just finish up with two auto stocks here. I know they're not heavily traded here, but Ford and GM, and then we'll let you go. Asking for the chat here.
Okay. GM, I don't like to chase it. And if you are long it, if I'm long it, I would trim it here on this rally. Fantastic rally. I point you to the December 3rd candle. This is a daily candle. Mm-hmm. And what happened there? And just ask yourself what could happen around that. And it is a pivotal zone it's in right now. And there is a gap that kind of was filled by that December candle. So there's a lot there. So GM, from a trading perspective, don't hit me on the, why am I ragging on it. I'm not, from a trading perspective, I want to know what was that December 3rd candle all about, and just be cautious with it. The big gap below, I know it had some good news down there, but forget what it was. The point of control, let's put it that way, from a volume perspective, is below. So keep that in mind. It has It needs to prove itself at these levels, short term.
Yeah, trading range. Okay, and then finally, for Joe Stock Trader, Ford, I see major resistance at the $9 area. I know they're trying a lot of things to move forward here, but this still looks like a trading range in Ford. Any thoughts on that?
Sure. What level did you say?
I see those couple highs above 9, you know, 903, right. 906, and then, you know, boom. And then they came out with like a warning last week. They kind of snuck it in. I think it was my first day back. I think it was on Wednesday. It was nothing major, but they did come in with a little profit warning, and they have earnings on Wednesday.
Okay, so the earnings worry me a little bit. If they had a warning and whatever they said and they missed on that warning, by the way, that stands true for Apple. Okay, that's the biggest worry for me. Going forward. So Ford, back to Ford, like you said, 9-ish is a neckline, but it's also the opportunity on the upside. If somebody wants to anticipate it and jump the gun and hold it from here on up, or hold calls or sell puts in it, maybe, from a trading perspective. But if you do that, I would have a hard stop. And, 821 is another place where they should bounce. But if they don't, it could open the door for 8 or below. So from a trading perspective, it could be traded within that range in anticipation of that neckline around 9.
We've been on the line with Nick Shaheen. He's the author of Creating Income with Option Spreads. Join the show every Tuesday to share his fundamental and technical outlook on the markets. Thanks a lot, Nick, and we'll be talking to you next week.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
S&Ps continue to weaken here. We're down 19 handles here at 52.50. Pre-market low. Comes in at 49 even, 26.49. Your intraday low from Friday, that would be your low after the 9:30 open, comes in at 26.47. So there's one target on the downside for me. And then after that, things open up to your weekly pivot at 26.39. Triple D, you seeing some selling out there?
Yeah, there is. It still continues to leak. And like I said, there is a lot of imbalances, sell imbalances across the board. Even stocks like Walmart trading down significantly. Walmart's more defensive here, so it's trading down 70 cents. Again, you know, stocks we know have been moving a little bit more together. I still believe you're going to start to see some separation here starting, you know, real soon, if not immediately, from defensive stocks to, you know, beta, higher beta stocks, et cetera, because a lot of these charts have looked the same. I mean, Walmart kind of looks the same too, the big sell-off, the big rally, a little bit of a V bottom there and off the races. But, I mean, a lot of these stocks have had big moves. So yeah. If you're sitting there and you're nervous here this morning, maybe you had, you know, a long weekend to think about it. Coming in with your selling shoes on, just booking some profits if you bought at the lows, or maybe, you know, cutting some losses if because the stocks have bounced back so much for you. So it's difficult to just keep saying this market's going to continue to go straight up. Maybe it is, but we've had a significant move here in January since those lows, and I got to think you're coming into a level where a lot of people are happy to get their money back.
I have a pullback going in eBay right now. You did after getting over $35. You couldn't quite get to 34. You got to 34.31. And you probably have some shorts trying to bring in some stock here in ARNC. You made a pre-market low at 14.84, but you're back above $15 right now. Remember that old low of the move was at 15.63. J&J trying to roll over here down 269, but it's not hit those multiple lows. Dennis mentioned that.
Oh, hold on.
It's 127.50 area. Let's go to our any earnings stocks that we missed here from this morning.
There were some small ones. I don't know. If like Pets, really. Pets Meds. Some people like trading that PETS, Pet Meds. Maybe we just quickly give that one because it is down 16% this morning.
Pet Med Express, ticker PETS, Q3 EPS, 38 cents versus a 48 cent estimate. Sales, $60 million versus a $64 million estimate. So significant misses there on the EPS and sales for PETS, hence the drop on the chart that you'll see.
Big fall, taking out the lows. I mean, if you're coming here now, it's just trying to call a bottom. It's very difficult to do. So for me, if I wanted to be long, and I don't, but if I did, I would wait till at least you got a double bottom or something to lean on. There's nothing to lean on here. I believe this all-time lows, Joel? No, it's not.
No,
this is from 2017.
Exactly what I was going to mention. Your low in March of 2017 was 1921. You did dip under there on the panic selling. You got to 1850, but right now, good opportunity for shorts to cover a stock that hit 5780 in January of 2018. So Pets Meds on the retreat. Do you want to look at some stocks that have some earnings after the close? There's some pretty interesting ones here. IBM.
Yeah, Big Blue.
Big Blue.
Holding up well in the pre-market. You often see these stocks ahead of the reports. I know they often show strength ahead of the reports. Charts look the same, obviously. We're just saying that every chart looks the same that I bring up. I think if they disappoint, you know, it depends on how much they disappoint. But, you know, 119.76, 120, that's where you kind of found support the last 4 or 5 days. But you know what? It's holding up the pre-market. We'll have to see. It's all going to depend on the numbers for IBM. It's probably, I don't know what the expected move is, but typically it will move at least 5-6% on its earnings. So we'll have to see after the bell. What are your thoughts going on Big Blue?
It's trying. I mean, they announced that acquisition of Red Hat here. Also, we talked about this one with Sean, and he thinks that, you know, could be on the recovery trail. I think a lot has to do with the the overall market. To me, major resistance on the monthly charts. The monthly charts are telling you, don't buy this thing until it clears like 127, couple monthly highs at 125, and then your December high, 126.59. Coming back on the downside, you did have some lows at the 120 area. I'd look at that as a potential support. And if things get ugly after the report, then you always can figure your 50% retracement. Seems like they always come out, they beat, but then the revenue growth isn't enough and it ends up getting pounded anyway. So IBM, nice bounce off the low. We'll see what it does after the report. And go ahead, Spencer.
Oh, no, I was going to ask if you wanted a quick recap from me from the Cannabis Capital Conference this week. So a number of public companies attended down in Miami Beach last week with us and the Benzinga crew. We had, let's see, who was there? Ianthus was there, Acreage Holdings, Cushco, Curaleaf, Compass Cannabis, a number probably a dozen or so. Aurora was there, Trulieve, a dozen or so public companies. We had investor presentations, panels. I'll just go over like the big themes of the conference. Theme number one, it's funny, you know, this is our second cannabis conference, the first of which was in Toronto. That was very bullish on Canada. This one, obviously, in Miami. Very bullish America. The theme, biggest theme of the conference for me was that everybody there figure that by the end of this year, the U.S. Cannabis market is going to just totally dwarf and crush the Canadian cannabis market, despite the fact that it's not even legal here federally. So everyone is very bullish on America, number one. Number two, people are watching very closely the States Act. If the government ever reopens, one of the bills on the table is a law that would make it easier. It would make companies that are acting – let's see how I can phrase it. Companies in businesses that are not federally legal but operating in states in which they are legal, it would make them exempt from federal laws. So companies in the business of cannabis and hemp or anything in states in which it's legal, it would make them exempt from any federal federal laws against that. That's obviously very bullish cannabis. That they expect to pass at some point this year if the government ever opens up. And that'd be a huge thing for cannabis. It would make it would really help the industry grow even more than it already has. It's two, and in conjunction with the farm bill from last year, so two big pieces of legislation. Number three is the banks. Everyone is just really pissed off. You can imagine that banks have the big banks, because it's not legalized federally yet, can't really get into the business yet. And once they do, that would be a huge boon as well. So they're watching for the banks. They want the banks, because once the big institutional money gets in there, then that just really will set the industry on fire in terms of growth. I mean, not, you know, the other way around. So the banks, States Act, Farm Bill, all three pieces of legislation are changes that they're watching for. And they're watching for the U.S. markets to dwarf that of Canada's cannabis markets in the course of this year. Those are the highlights that I saw from the cannabis event. A lot of people, just a lot of company reps just saying, yep, just buy my stock. put it in the old portfolio. Don't look at it for a few years. I still stand by my idea. If you're bullish cannabis, just go ahead and buy the MJ and call it a day.
Hey, and you get obviously all of them if you're buying the MJ. That's exactly. The ETF, so maybe that is the best way to do it. I don't know what the management fees are, and I haven't really looked into it, but it does move with the overall sector, and you get the diversity of it. The only thing always, for me, is a valuation issue here. And does anybody talk about, you know, valuation? Yes. Do you have anybody going to these conferences yes. that, you know, give a little bit of a bear thesis? I'm just curious, because obviously everybody's there is, you know, going to be a lot of people biased to pod,
yeah, it's funny because we had Danny Moses, who he was working under Steve Eisman during The Big Short, and obviously known for being a guy who can find stuff to short. So he was there, and I asked him that, and you know, you're a guy who's known for shorting stuff. Yeah. But why are you here? And basically, he said, "Yeah, I wanted to short cannabis, so I was doing my research, and I just couldn't find a reason to short it." Basically, so
really, hence well, even the bears are bullish,
right? So, so big bear there, who is bullish, and he like wanted to be bearish, but just couldn't quite get there. So, no, obviously at a conference like this, you're not going to see a ton of bearish comments. As far as valuations are concerned, everyone is the underlying theme is we believe, at least in the investor presentations, we believe our company is undervalued. Of course you do. So, of course you do. So, you know, not a ton.
Of course you do. No, we believe our company is overvalued.
Right.
Sell, the market would go.
Not a ton in the name of bearish commentary at the conference. But, you know, it's hard to leave one of these conferences feeling super bearish because there's so much bullish talk on it, but you know, you got to put things in perspective and do your own research. But great conference, and if you're into cannabis, we're gonna have more this year, and you should check them out. So that's gonna be that. Any final thoughts, guys, before we wrap it up for the day?
Joel,
no, you're on mute.
Joel had to do it once a show.
It's okay.
Okay, you had to get it in. I mean, we're just leaking slow here. And the pre-market low, I always look for that for a potential follow through. We cut right to 49 even. I'm not going to get real excited on the shorts until we take out the interday low from Friday. I'd really like to see 26.40. That's your weekly pivot. But just had a nice run up and really haven't been able to bounce yet. So I'm just looking for follow through the pre-market low. Dennis, any final thoughts?
You got some selling balances, but, you know, be aware. There's a lot of people who have shorts have been ripped their face off here. So it's hard to just say, okay, I'm going to come sell in the hole here right now. I mean, if you were selling into the market's rally on Friday, you're being rewarded here right now. Now you come in and you're selling now. Well, okay. Well, you're selling 17 points handle than they were selling 17 points lower than they were selling on Friday at the close. So I think if I was, you know, really bearish this market, I'd probably wait. You know, we might get a little better price again. I don't think we're going straight down. That's what I'll say. Even though I've kind of, you know, been a predominant bear here over the last week, I don't think we're going straight down. I think there's a lot of shorts that we'll be buying below. So just as much as we have overhead supply from October and November, we've underneath demand from the shorts who were shorting at the bottom in December.
And one more thing I wanted to add before I wrapped up for the day on the cannabis is a lot of bullish talk on the ancillary businesses. So the non-plant intention companies, the companies around the plant that help support the industry.
You give us one? Is one of those any of those publicly traded? Can you give us like one?
Maybe like a MJ Freeway. Are they public? I believe they're public. Let's see. Yeah, they're public, and they're all public in Canada.
Okay.
MJ Freeway, and they're basically they're a self-described SaaS company with exposure to cannabis. They build like sensors for your grow house and give you data on your grow and that sort of thing. So a lot of talk about those types of plays. Okay. Companies are that don't touch the plant, like your technology companies, your companies that help you grow, that build your grow houses, your marketing companies, that sort of thing. So the companies that don't directly touch the plant, but that, you know, are ancillary, they're around the business, and a lot of bullish talk about those companies at the conference as well. And on that note, that'll do it for today's show. Thanks to everyone who joined us. Thanks to Nick Shaheen. If you miss any part, catch our podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher, or just watch us again on YouTube. Please remember, all the information from our show is for informational purposes only and not meant to be investing advice. And on that note, we'll see you folks tomorrow, and have a good rest of your day.